Hey, Rob Bradford here. You guys know I'm always up for a good MVP story, and one of the best stories is Wasabi Technology. Wasabi is the world's hottest cloud storage company, and it's become the go-to provider for professional and collegiate sports teams, including 20 Major League Baseball teams like the Red Sox and NHL teams like the Bruins and Vancouver Canucks. Even the Liverpool Football Club is getting in on the Wasabi action. So why is Wasabi the MVP? Well, Wasabi was purpose-built to free businesses from skyrocketing storage costs and unpredictable transaction fees that the Amazons of the world are charging. In fact, Wasabi is up to 80% less than those hyperscalers and doesn't charge a cent for businesses to access their data. From Wasabi's AI-enabled intelligent media storage, Wasabi Air, to the industry's only cloud storage service with triple protection against cyber criminals, data deletion, and ransomware, Wasabi's taking the lead in driving innovation in data storage and helping sports teams to unleash the power of their data. Wasabi, another Boston-based championship team. Backstage with a golden grace, with tales from the stands to the batter's cage, the kind of stories that'll keep you engaged. It's Backstage with a golden grace. Hi, everybody, and welcome to Philly's Backstage. I'm Tom Burgoyne, joined by my partner here in crime, John Brazier. How are you doing, John?
I'm doing great, Tom, and very excited. And I think our listeners will be very excited for our guest right here, Nick Maton, who came on the scene last year and has become a fan favorite in a very short time. So let's just get right into it.
Welcome, Nick.
Thank you. Thank you. Glad to be here.
Thanks for coming up. You know, it's 1:45 on Wednesday, right? Yeah. What would you normally be doing right now? Did we pull you away from something?
I usually get here like about 15 minutes ago, about 1:30, like an hour before report, and I usually go straight to the crossword.
Really?
Yeah. What's that all about?
I just love the crossword. I picked it up this year, and I'm kind of getting nasty at it. Pretty good. We got a little competition in the clubhouse, so you can get it done faster. And
now, is it always the same one, like USA Today? Or
yeah, USA Today. Okay. Yeah, New York Times, way too hard for
us. Yeah, and well, even the USA Today, it goes Monday to harder and harder as you go into the week, I think, right?
Yeah, for sure. I think Sunday's the hardest.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Now, do you do Wordle? See, I'm addicted to Wordle. It's the first thing I do in the morning.
Yeah, I'm doing Wordle,
You do
too.
Wordle,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, I think.
Have you ever heard
too.
Of Wordle?
Yeah, I've heard of Wordle. My my mom and my brothers do it. I've never gotten into it, though. I probably need to with my crossword addiction.
You would. You would love it. I love all those Sudoku and all those different
ones. Who plays in the clubhouse?
The really good people in there are Tomper. Tomper's probably. Okay. Reese is really good. Connor Brogdon's really good. But me, Stott, Schorber.
Is Syndergaard playing? Because he I know he's part of a book club.
He's not in there.
No?
He's not in there.
Huh. Now, when you say good, is it because you fill it all out, or is it because you do it fast?
Fast. Tomper and Reese are nasty.
Like fast meaning like 20 right. minutes?
Quicker than that.
Yeah. Wow. Huh.
You're talking about New York Times, even USA Today. Like, I'm more like TV guy, like, you know, who played, you know, Hawkeye in MASH? Oh, Alan Alda. Like, I know that kind of information. I don't know.
Nick doesn't know what Alan Alda or MASH is because he's 25 years old.
Yeah, if we got that, I got no chance.
Right. All right, well, let's talk about your career because you grew up in Illinois, right? Yeah. And I guess you're closer to where's the Major League Baseball team that's closest to you? Because Illinois is kind of in that.
I grew up a Cardinals fan.
Cardinals fan. Because St. Louis is closer to you than any other.
Yeah, it's about an hour 15. Chicago's about 2.5-3 hours north.
So who's your favorite? I assume you're a Cardinals fan. So who's your favorite player on the Cardinals back then?
I was a big Pujols fan growing up. That whole core, like Pujols, Edmund, Scott Rowland.
Yeah.
I mean, Carpenter, all those guys.
Have you been following the pool? Have you met him since you've been up?
No, I haven't actually.
Oh, really?
I haven't, no. But I've played against him, so, I mean, that's cool to see.
It's a great story in baseball now, right? I mean,
well,
everybody's
pulling Judge for, are the two stories that are just, obviously, in the Phillies making the playoffs, hopefully, knock on wood.
Yes.
But Pujols, I mean, that's crazy at that age, right? To have that success?
It's pretty crazy what he's done lately.
Yeah. All right, so you played Little League. Now, I imagine, too, you have an older brother who's a pitcher. Right? And you were a pitcher, too, younger, right?
Yeah.
So what did you ever play on the same team? Are you guys close enough in age where you played on the same team?
My older brother,
Phil.
We played when I was a freshman, and he was leaving his senior year, but it was like a summer league thing, and that's the only time I ever played with him. But I've played with my little brother, he's a free agent with the Rangers. I played with him. He was a freshman when I was a senior. So, I mean, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, a little bit of sibling rivalry there.
Awesome.
And
awesome.
I guess, you know, just a house filled with baseball. I mean, did you guys go to Cardinal games or?
Yeah, we went to a lot growing up. We went to a lot growing up. It was super fun. That team was so good, too. I mean, heck, I feel like they won every single game we went to.
Yeah.
You know what's cool, too, that you had, you know, just this year, you had Aaron Nola face his brother, Austin Nola, right? And unfortunately for us, Austin Nola had the game-winning hit, right? Game-winning hit on June 25th. Yeah. Now, you have an opportunity to do make a little vengeance to Aaron, right? And come up with you might be facing your brother in, I guess, a week and a half, right?
Yeah, no, that'd be super cool. That'd be super cool. I mean, we've all talked about it in the clubhouse, too. I mean, if he comes out of the pen, come on.
And what's your family going to do? you know, it's like, who you root for?
I don't know, but hopefully they're pulling for me, not him.
Yeah, I would think so.
Well, let me ask you a question, though, because you got brother loyalty, you got team loyalty. Are you going to give up? You probably have inside information on your brother, what he throws, his tendencies. Are you giving that information to to your hitters, I assume?
We got everything we could possibly want with information on pitchers. So, I mean, we don't. What I have on him doesn't even come close to what we got on him. we got him.
Now, what does he throw? What's his?
He's got this, like, he's kind of unique. He's got high spin rate, but he's got this little cutter, like rising cutter little thing he throws. And then he's got a slower curveball slider thing. So.
Okay. We are actually playing, again, we're recording this on Wednesday. We are playing Toronto in game two. And tonight's pitcher is Kevin Gausman, and that was your first Major League Baseball hit, right?
Yeah.
So that's the guy you're facing tonight. Do you know yet if you're in the lineup yet?
Don't know yet.
Okay. And tell us about that. We'll go back into time before you got, but your first hit off Gausman, how much did you know about him? What can you tell about Gausman?
Well, I just knew he's got a good splitter. I mean, obviously everyone knows that about him. He's got, that's his out pitch. And I remember my first at bat, I mean, I was super hyped up, you know, first at bat, and he threw me a fastball, and I hit it pretty good to left center and ended up being caught. And then my next at bat, I remember even better because Mickey was in front of me hitting, and it was a big situation in the game, and he threw Mickey three straight splitters. And, I mean, it's a nasty, but it's nasty. Yeah. And he swung at all three of them, struck out, and then I come up, I'm like, okay, come on, I'm laying it off. Three straight to me. I'm out. Nasty. But then my next at bat, that was when I got my first hit and a little bloop shot over Crawford's head.
Yeah.
And you got, John mentioned earlier, you pitched when you were younger. Did you ever, was there a point where you said, okay, I'm going to just concentrate on playing the infield and step away from the mound?
That after JUCO. I was our like closer, quote, in junior college. I mean, that's just because, I mean, I threw pretty hard. Mm-hmm. And after that was over, there was really no more pitching unless we were getting blown out or up by a lot.
Yeah.
Well, Tom, he was 8-1 with a 0.95 ERA.
I saw that. Yeah, when we're looking you up, it's
102
like,
oh, strikeouts really? In 59 innings in high school.
See, and John and I love this because it's like, you know, we never had that kind of – when that at JUCO, I mean, even at Little League, you know, it's like we never got to that next level. So it's pretty cool to see somebody who can take it to that next level and then say, yeah, you're pitching so well, and then like, nah, I'm going to give it up.
Yeah, well, I was more of a thrower than a pitcher.
I got you. Yeah.
And you get some arm problems when you're doing that, too.
Yes.
Just using absolutely no legs and all arm.
Yeah.
So have you told Tomper that you're, you know, available? Probably. I mean, obviously you've pitched in the major leagues so far, but, like, did you, before that, were you telling him that, did he know that you were a pitcher back then? Or does he assume that everyone?
I feel like, to an extent, everyone was a pitcher down there at some point. Right. I mean, everyone was the three-hole hitter at some point. And, I mean, we did have a running joke go along last year because last year I got my first outing. It was in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And I struck out the one guy I faced.
Right.
So I had.
And did the umps check you for a substance?
Yeah, they did. Yeah. And I had a 27 K per nine, and that was just like the running joke. And then this year I go out and get shelled.
But that's not something like you didn't go to Topper and say, I can pitch. It's he kind of has a pretty good idea of who can and who can't.
Yeah, but doing that, it's not really like a serious point. Like when you're throwing, you know, you're just supposed to lob it in there, throw strikes.
All right. The one thing, too, that I know your nickname is Wolfie, and you have a plush Wolfie doll in your locker. How did that – did you have that – were you given that nickname here, or is that something that carried from you from the minor leagues or even before that?
It was kind of self-proclaimed. And I think it was in college, my first year of college at Eastern. Me and a couple of my buddies came up with nicknames, and mine was the only one that really, you know, stuck along. I was the only one that really put in the effort to keep it going. And as we go on through minor league ball, I kept it going, and everyone loved it. And then especially here, I mean, we got a lot of people with nicknames and animal names, and we have a lot of fun with it.
You need a nickname. Have you ever met Randy Wolf?
No, I haven't.
Ah, great guy. He was, I guess, our Wolfie before you came
along.
Well,
and back then it was at the vet, and we used to have – he was the first one that started fan groups. So we had the Wolf Pack, and these guys, it was two families, and they'd wear wolf masks. And they'd get up, and whenever Randy Wolf pitched, they'd be up there, you know, like
every game. They'd every have, game, you know, 25 or more people up there, and they would do these wolf chants and howl. It was awesome. And there was a game.
Did a giveaway.
Yeah, just before the All-Star game, you know, everybody's available to pitch. Yeah. And Harry Cowles, our announcer, you know, he makes the on the radio, he says, yeah, and Randy Wolf's warming up in the bullpen. And, like, the family grabbed their sheet, you know, Wolfpack sheet and their mask and got down here in time for him when he made his relief appearance. You know, the Wolfpack guys are, like, running up this you know, getting
into
their
spot. Yeah, and he was invited to one guy's wedding, and he's pretty tight with him.
But Wolfie works.
That's sick, yeah. That's awesome. I love it.
We need the fan group.
We do.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, I've got a question for you. So Tom, as you know, is the best friend of the Fanatic, right? And I don't know if you've ever paid attention to the when Dan Baker announces the players, he's usually in front of the visiting dugout, and he imitates the player. So for instance, Carlos Ruiz, you know, is shorter. So when Dan Baker would say, "I'm batting eighth, catcher Carlos Ruiz," and he would get down like a jockey.
Yeah, a little bit of
And the other players would love it because, you know, and if it was Ryan Howard would stick the bat, you know, straight out like he's pointing to center field, right? That's what do you do for Nick?
I don't. The Fanatic does. Well,
I'm sorry. What does the Fanatic do for Nick?
Nick, you say short. Nick's a little on the shorter side, so I think the Fanatic gets down on his knees and just waves to everybody.
I think you got to change it up. Well, I think the Fanatic needs to change it up.
Howling at the moon.
Right.
There you go.
Yeah, that works. I like that.
Are you going to pay attention? Now you got to pay attention now for the Fanatic.
I got to lock in now.
I want to ask you about Larry Boa. Larry's one of these guys. He always kind of has a favorite. It's usually an infielder, you know. And did you know Larry before you? I don't know when you got drafted by the Phillies, or as you came up through the organization, did you get to know Larry a little bit?
Yeah, I knew of him before, before I got here. But my first big league spring training was like my first getting to know Boa, and he likes you, but we went nuts. Like
he works it into the ground.
Oh my gosh. Like I stayed back from a game and took ground balls like the whole game. It was insane. The guy's crazy. But I mean, me and him got along well. I mean, there's a lot of fire in that guy, and I appreciate that, and I like that, and we just click.
Yeah, look, he took Jimmy Rollins under his wing at an early age, and I think he appreciates guys who work hard. And, you know, you're not built like Albert Pujols or one of these guys. Like, you know, you're going to have to work to make it.
Sure.
And that's how he did it. You know, I mean, to me, he's a Hall of Famer.
Can you believe that he never played high school baseball? He got cut every year in high school. So the only time he played, well, I guess he played American Legion ball, but then he went to junior college and, again, cut the whole time. And one of the Philly scouts went to go see him play. And reported back, comes back in California, and the GM said, how'd that kid Larry Boa look? It's like, I don't know. He got kicked out of both games of the doubleheader. So doesn't that all make sense right now?
It sounds like him, but now you know why he's got a little bit of fire in him.
Exactly.
I had no idea.
Well, speaking of fire, too, what I love, you know, they call it the daycare, but I love the fact that you and Vierling and Derek Hall when he was up and all the young guys we have are really, they call it the daycare, that you guys are bringing that infectious energy, not just to you guys, but to the veterans, right? So I think you've become an instant fan favorite. All you guys become fan favorites watching you guys and Stott and Bomb, boom. You know what I mean? Everybody is just kind of, do you feel that infectious energy? Or are you bringing it? How are you?
Yeah, I feel like that's one of the things I do well. I mean, whenever, whatever clubhouse I'm in, wherever I'm at, I like to, you know, be loud, be crazy, just like get people to loosen up a little bit because you play so much better like that, you know? When you're uptight, you really just can't perform the way you want to, and I just like, I like doing that. I feel like I do that pretty well.
Is that tough to do as a young player? Because, you know, usually you hear that, you know, don't be heard, you know, just lay low in the clubhouse. But if you bring that, which brings such great, you know, intangibles to the club, you know what I mean? But,
yeah,
you know, like the old school baseball would say, yeah. Larry Boa, you know, if there was a rookie that was kind of, you know, bringing that, he'd be like, come on, man, you're a rookie. So,
yeah, but when that happens, you got to keep bringing it. You can't back down to those guys. Right. Keep bringing it. And then sooner or later, they'll crack.
And the veterans on this team, I mean, how do you feel? I mean, obviously the young guys are doing it, but there is also a great veteran presence on this team, right?
Oh, yeah. There's a couple. There's a lot of great people on this team. I mean, Schorber. I mean, Schorber's the man. I mean, Harp, Casty, Hoskins, all these guys. We got a great group of people, and, I mean, it's a good clubhouse to be in.
And they're not putting you through the ringer.
Now,
sometimes.
A little bit.
One other thing, too, is that if I have this correct, when you played right field for the first time, that's the first time you've ever played right field in any any little league, right? High school?
No, I never played. Yeah, left field, too. I never played. The only time I played outfield was center field one game last year because last year putting in my ear and they kept on telling me I might go play center field. So when I got sent down, I played the second game with doubleheader in center field.
So when you were put out there in right field for the first time, I mean, had you practiced at right field? Were you in your head? Were you thinking like, all right, I gotta, you know, hit the cutoff guy. I gotta do this, do that, right? Because you're not used to playing out there.
No, just catch the ball.
Just catch the ball. Exactly. It's the outfield. Yeah, yeah, come on. How hard can it be, John?
You gotta know the angles of the, you know,
angles, schmangles.
Yeah, for sure. There you go. Just catch the ball. But no, you get a lot of work out in BP.
Shagging.
That's the best way to do it. I mean, that's the most game-like situation you can find. People can sit out there and hit you fly balls all you want, but until you take them off the bat, it's just different.
All right, so it's the first time ever playing it. Are you nervous out there? Are you saying, I don't know.
I wasn't really nervous. I was just, once I caught the first one, I was.
You're fine.
I was chilling. But, the one in left field, the little diver kind of boosted my confidence a lot in outfield, so. But then I came back in. I think they said something about it was like a 90% catch probability or something like that, and I dove on it. But I'm like, there's no chance.
Yeah, that's not
there's
right.
There's no chance.
How can you have 90% when you had to dive?
That's what I'm saying. Right. That's what I'm saying. I don't believe any of that.
Right. So what would you say is your natural position?
Well, I grew up, I was always a shortstop, but now it's probably second base.
Second base, okay. Yeah.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And you've had a couple big games against Florida's big pitcher. You've hit a couple dingers off of Sandy.
The only one in Major League Baseball to hit two home runs off Alcantara.
And you know, seeing the interviews that you've given Nick, you know when you hit those. I mean, I guess you're sitting fastball in those situations because the guy has such a fastball.
I mean, you gotta respect that. I mean, the dude throws 100, so you can't just completely hop off the fastball and get to an off speed pitch, but. You know, I kind of thought he might do that my second time because he front hit me earlier in the game, and luckily he ended up doing it again.
And did you get razzed a little bit from, you mentioned Schwarber. I mean, he must think is his 40 home run season in jeopardy now that you're, you know, hitting bombs like he is?
Yeah, I always tell him I'm going to catch him.
And I love, too, how you get off to a great start. So when you got called up, last year your debut was on April 19th. Right, you get a hit your first game, you get a hit the second game, you get three hits third game, two hits next one, two hits two next one, two hits next one. So you got off on a roll, and even this year, same thing. You went, I guess your first start was June 1st, 2-for-4 with a home run. Then he goes 1-for-2 with a triple and a walk. Then he goes 3-for-4 with a home run, 4 RBIs. So, I mean, you're very good as far as getting in there and doing damage right away. Is that something that's, I don't know, is it just because you're so amped up in a good way?
Yeah. I mean, it's this game's all about making an impression, and you got to try your hardest to be able to make one and be able to stick. And you just got to try your hardest to be able to do that. I mean, it's tough sometimes, but luckily I've been able to do it like the past 2 years.
And you're also at home. Tom, I don't know if you know, he's hitting 355 at home.
Nice.
So that just shows me, if you got that energy and the crowd's feeding off you, you're feeding off the crowd, right? I mean, is there something special about Citizens Bank Park?
I feel like I play really well here. I love playing here, and there's a lot of energy, and I see the ball really well here. It's easy to lock in here, I think. I like it.
And how about, I know you haven't seen too much of the city because the season gets crazy, you're on the road, but have you gotten a chance to spend some time in the city?
Not extensively. Just walked around, got a coffee here and there. Haven't really checked it out big time. I've gone to the couple of malls around here, but that's just on an off day. Really don't have much time to do anything. Get back so late.
Yeah, so you don't know that. John will take you out. John knows all the hot spots. You used to, John.
I still do. I hit a lot of restaurants, yeah.
All right.
I mean, even though I'm out in the suburbs. But I'm sure everyone asks you, what's your favorite cheesesteak, right?
We're not going to go there.
We had the Flyers yesterday. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah.
A lot of the Flyers took batting practice yesterday. And I was talking to one of the guys, and he's like, yeah, it's like everyone always asks me, oh, you're from Canada. What's your favorite cheesesteak? And every time they show Philadelphia, whether it's Eagles game, Monday Night Football, or National game, Phillies, showing the guys chopping up the cheesesteaks.
Well, the Fanatic tonight is shooting hot dogs, yeah. And I guess Rocky the Musical is in town. And so the woman who is playing Adrian is going to be riding in the hot dog launcher with the Fanatic. But that's pretty stereotypical, yeah. Too, right? It's like, oh, Adrian.
Rocky and cheesesteak.
Yeah, you know.
Do you ever watch the Fanatic do his stuff? Do you ever pay attention?
No, the four-wheeler gets me. It's, like, kind of crazy. I'm surprised there hasn't been anything, like, bad happen on that
thing. All right, knock on wood. You never know.
That thing's whipped around there.
Well, you did have one bad thing. Well, first of all, players used to steal your keys, right?
Yeah.
Or steal the Fanatic's keys.
Yeah, it's still.
But also, you had SpongeBob. SpongeBob one time, this is at the vet, Nick, and SpongeBob, performed to the Fanatic.
Well, and the way he performed was YMCA. The Fanatic's out there with Patrick and Starfish and with SpongeBob. And SpongeBob's got these really small, like, arms, and he can't control them. They just kind of flop there. And so
Lift up.
Yeah, when it came to do YMCA, the Fanatic was just disgusted with SpongeBob that he couldn't spell out YMCA. But then we propped the SpongeBob on the back of the Fanatic's four-wheeler, and he was facing the back, kind of waving as best he could
to everybody
at the vet. And when the Fanatic went up that truck ramp, SpongeBob just face planted right on.
And Fanatic didn't know because he drove up on the ramp and he just kept going. And SpongeBob.
I think the Fanatic did hear the splat though.
And Bobby Abreu was our right fielder, and literally they had to delay the game because Bobby Abreu was laughing so hard at SpongeBob having to get basically.
Yeah, he couldn't get up.
No, he couldn't get up. No. He was down for the count.
Poor SpongeBob.
How do we get started talking about that?
I don't even know. I don't know.
I have no idea. You ready to administer the quiz?
Yes. All right. Now, Nick, I did tell you ahead of time that we have a quiz, right?
Oh, let's get our theme song, John. Let me cue up the theme song, and here it is, the John Brazier Quiz.
Thanks for the visit. Let's get down to business. Now here's your chance to show how much you really know. He might get grumpy if he can't stump you with Brazier's Quiz.
All right, hit it, John.
All right, Nick. Ready?
So these are about me?
Yes. 8 questions, and we set the bar at 6. If you get 6, I will put together a prize pack, and actually, and it's just because we never deliver. I'm going to bring it down to the clubhouse right after this, right after I break this all down, all right? So all you got to do is get 6. All right, you went to Glenwood High School in Chatham, Illinois, correct? Yeah. Right. Which of these celebrities did not go to Glenwood? So 3 of them went to Glenwood. One did not. Okay, so you just got to tell me who did not. Jason Wirth, former Phillies outfielder. Reed Detmers, who only went there his senior year, but he did go there. Rapper. Oh, wait.
I just gave him that one.
So I do that on purpose so he'd have a little better. Rapper Meek Mill or Joshua Swickard, who played Harrison Chase on General Hospital?
Well, that's an easy one. I knew all those ones. The third one.
Rapper Meek Mill. Yeah, he's from Philly. He's from Strawberry Mansion.
Did you say Jason Wirth went there, too?
Yeah. He did.
How about that?
Yeah,
how about that one? All right, you also went to Eastern Illinois University for 1 year, right? Before you went to Lincoln Land Community College, where Jeff Becerra went to. How about that?
Yeah, I saw that.
All right, but Eastern Illinois University, which celebrity did not go to Eastern Illinois? Okay, got it. Singer-actor Burl Ives. Now, you would probably know him as the snowman in Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Absolutely.
Right, so Burl Ives. Singer Billie Eilish. John Malkovich, the actor. And Jimmy Garoppolo, the quarterback for the 49ers.
Who did not go there?
Who did not go there. So
it's got to be Billie Eilish.
Billie Eilish is correct.
Go there.
She never went to college. She's from L.A.
Yeah, she dropped out.
She
lived with her brother.
Well,
she
didn't really drop out. She never went because she was so successful at whatever age she was, 13, 14, 15.
Writing songs in her bedroom.
All right, you are 2 for 2. Right. So you're on a roll.
Let's go.
All right, in summer of 2016, you played for the Fayetteville Swamp Dogs.
Swamp Dogs.
In the Collegiate Summer Baseball League and the Coastal Plain League. Which one of these guys was not a teammate? Okay, so it wasn't too long ago. We've done this with guys.
I was there for like a month.
All right, but it's fine. But we've
done this with like 75-year-old guys.
We did a guy who was 75-year-old guys who had to go back in 1972 and figure out who their teammates.
Yeah.
All right, so here, I think you'll do fine here. All right, ready? Murphy Miranda, Trey Vickers, Dan Leckie, Frankie Jazirio.
Do the first one and the third one again.
All right, Murphy Miranda is the first one. Trey Vickers, Dan Leckie, and Frankie Jazirio.
Is it A?
Yes, Murphy Miranda. He works in our social media team. Yeah, he's
Murph.
New. He's only been here. Yeah. You know.
We got Murph.
Yeah, you were on a roll. 3 for 3.
Yeah.
All right.
Your brother, as we talked about, is a pitcher for the Houston Astros, who you might face in a week and a half or so. How many strikeouts does he have on the season? Now, I'll give you how many innings pitched, just to help you out a little bit. 58 2/3 innings pitched so far. So how many strikeouts does he have? 75, 50, 82, 63.
Well, it's either 75 or what's the what? Would you say 82?
75, 50, 82, 63.
75.
63.
Oh,
all right.
No.
That's a tough question.
That is a tough one. All right.
No.
So, that's all right. You still have to go. If you get 3 of the next 4, you're good. Which Nick has the most career home runs? Okay. Which Nick has the most career home runs? Nick Markakis? Nick Johnson, Nick Castellanos, or Nick Swisher?
Nick Swisher.
Nick Swisher is correct. 245.
Let's go.
Did you know that?
No, boy.
What would you have guessed?
How many does Markakis has? That
189.
Castellanos
has 181.
181.
So Nick Swisher has a lot. All right.
All right. Did you screw up again?
Yes, because I never know what stories we're going to tell. You got this right already. So it's about Larry Boa, but you got that right. So now you just got to get
What was the question?
Yeah, what was it?
So you were a longtime favorite of Larry Boa, which is not true about Boa. He never played high school. And I wrote this quiz about 2 weeks ago.
Let's go.
He never played high school baseball, which Phillies Cal went to see him in a college game. He got thrown out of the first game. He retired with the NL record for career games at shortstop, and he played for the Phillies his entire year.
How long ago did you write that quiz?
Two weeks ago. I found out we were going to get him. All right.
Let's go.
All right. We mentioned your teammates call you Wolfie, and we talked about Randy Wolf, had a fan group. Where did Randy play his college baseball? I know that's going to be a total guess right here. UCLA, Pepperdine, UC Irvine, University of Texas.
You can use me as a lifeline.
You can use Tom as a lifeline.
All right, I'm going to use my lifeline.
Pepperdine.
Pepperdine is correct. All right.
Really?
I think he qualifies, right, so far?
Yeah, he's qualifying.
All right, then you have to just get the last one. See if you can get the last one just for more added bonus. You guys are called the daycare, right? Who is the youngest player on the active roster? Do you know this?
Youngest player.
Who is the youngest player? Now, there's a lot of guys born in the same year, but it's the youngest player. So is it Bryson Stott, Bailey Falter, Brandon Marsh, or Donnie Sands?
Oh, Donnie's a wild card. I don't know when his birthday. Dang it. I know Marsh's birthday is in December, and he's 24, and that's older than, that's younger than Stott.
And so then it's just Bailey Falter and then not knowing Donnie Sands. So you got to.
Donnie Sands.
Oh, my gosh. My gut's telling me to go with Donnie. No, never mind. It's not Donnie. It is Marsh.
Did he just read me? Did I give that away somehow in my eyes? You are correct, Brandon Marsh. And you are correct. That is December 18th, 1997.
Nice.
Falter was in April of 97. Stott was October 97, so he's kind of close.
Yeah.
And then Donnie Sands was 96, so he's a little older.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, I had no idea.
You did good.
How about that?
So, and you're going to put something together for him?
I'm going to, right when we hang all up right here, I'm going to go put together a little gift bag and bring it down to you.
It's a beautiful thing. Nick, we know you got a game tonight. Let's do this.
You should be in the lineup. I'm going to tell Rob, let's go down and talk about it. Yeah, because you already have your hit off him, so you know you can hit off him,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I got another one.
And you get another one. Exactly. Right. Double it, right?
Yeah. Awesome. Nick, good luck the rest of the season,
and watch
brother.
For the Fanatic, because when he does your picture on the field.
I think he's going to have to change it to a Wolfie.
The debut is going to be tonight when he announces Nick Maton.
Absolutely.
You're going to go out there and do the Wolf thing. So
there it is.
Go.
I'm pumped to see it.
There
I'll
it
be
is.
Locked in.
Locked in. All right, Nick, thanks again, man.
Appreciate it.
Great
appreciate
seeing
it.
You. Thank and you. We'll be back right after this.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And we're back. Philly's backstage. John, I'm digging the daycare.
Yeah, you know what? It was fun having Garrett Stubbs early in the year and Nick. And I'd love to get Derek Hall and Vierling and all these guys because it's just, he brings that infectious energy to the clubhouse. And, he's kind of quiet, right? He's not a little quiet, but you can tell he's a lot of
and
fun.
And competitive, too. I mean,
very
when we were doing that quiz,
right.
It was like, he got one wrong. He was, ready to jump out that window, I think.
And then, during the quiz, too, he's looking at me, and he went with Donnie Sands. Then he looked at me, and I guess, I'm probably a bad poker player, because he looked at me, and I must have given a look like, no,
exactly.
That's not the right answer, and he switched right away.
Yeah, that competitive spirit.
Right,
no wonder Boa loves him.
Right.
I mean, it totally makes sense.
Doing the crosser puzzle, and it's not like whether you can fill it out. It's like how fast you can. So he would be really good, and he would probably be one of those chess guys that likes to just like the speed chess see out in the Central Park.
Yeah,
guys like don't worry about beating him. I want to beat him fast.
And you mentioned because this is the first time I didn't know Nick much before our interview. But we were saying ahead of time like kind of the Chase Utley type, and it's like when you think of Chase was a they call him a dirt ball, but he was a gym rat, but baseball, a baseball rat, and I think Maton is in that same mold.
Well, and they kind of have a similar swing in the sense that it's a short, compact swing. That when that ball goes out, I mean, Nick Maton, he has.
And he doesn't look it. It's he looks.
Well, you
he
called
looks
him. 14. You called him short too. So,
Nick's on the short side.
He's
I think
not really
talking.
Short, right?
I guess
we're
no.
short.
Yeah.
No. I was looking to see whether he's going to give you the evil eye on that one.
He looks very young looking though. I mean, he's got a youthful look to him.
The Fanatic better do a good Wolfie impression during the Dan Baker lineups right here.
Hey, and we have the weekend, John. I mean, obviously, we gotta take care of the Braves. We gotta exert a little bit of revenge, I think.
Yeah, exactly right. So we're recording this on Wednesday. It's before the Toronto, second game in Toronto. We are a game and a half out of the second wild card from San Diego, and we're still 2.5 of the Brewers. But we got to start winning again because we've been on a little bit of a bad streak. Now, last night we scored a lot of runs, but we also gave up two touchdowns, a field goal, and a 2-point conversion, maybe or something. So it's we need to get back on the winning ways, and we need the young guys. We need guys like Nick Maton and Vierling and other guys, and along with the veterans.
Well, when we were talking at lunch today, how there have been some other Septembers where it hasn't gone our way, but I think everybody feels better with this club, and because you're getting contributions up and down the lineup and off the bench, I think we're well situated.
Yeah, I think we got to stay healthy, and again tonight Zach Wheeler is going, so we need Zach Wheeler to. Now he's probably not going to pitch a lot of pitches, so and Syndergaard's going to be down in the bullpen, piggybacking. For tonight off Zach Wheeler. So We'll see. I mean, I guess now you have Eflin in the bullpen, right? So, and I guess some decisions to make. You know, next whatever it's gonna be an interesting two and a half weeks.
It is. It's gonna be a great weekend. The last weekend's always now. Listen, we're hoping the season is gonna continue, but there's always a little bit of a. Just a melancholy kind on that last weekend, even though we fully expect to be continuing our season, John. But certainly that feeling hits us, too, on Fan Appreciation Day. It's a lot of fun, you know. I guess if we're going to post this on Thursday, you know, if you're out there listening, you know, and if you've never been to a Fan Appreciation Day, you got to do it because we're giving out all kinds of stuff. It's crazy,
there's
all the
prizes,
items.
There's surprises.
I saw the list today. It's
there's
crazy.
There's prizes we give out, but also – you never know who's going to greet you at the gate.
Yeah.
Right?
Always have a lot of that going on.
You don't
on.
Know what's going on during the game. So, again, the last game is, we always say, full of prizes and surprises.
And there's a giveaway magnet, so you'll have the
2023
schedule that you can put on your refrigerator, which is nice in the off season, so you can plan your vacations.
And does a fanatic know what he's going to do for his last dance?
Last Dance
by Diana Ross.
Not
what
Diana
am I talking
Ross? Come on, Donna Summer. Right. Yeah, Last Dance. It's tradition.
It's true. And who do you do it with? The hostesses?
I think we're gonna have some hostesses up there this year. Yeah, okay. With the Fanatic. Yeah, he loves dancing with the hostesses.
Okay, Bob Tonin can be on there too.
There'll be no Bob Tonin on the dugout. No, no.
All right.
Why Bob Tonin?
I don't know. He likes
IT,
music.
I think
you should have Bob Tonin up there with the hostesses.
Have the IT department instead of the hostesses on the dugout.
I think you should make that executive decision right now.
I like it. Right. I like it. All right. Well, we're going to wrap this thing up, John.
We're going to wrap it up.
All right. Good times. Thanks for listening, everybody. And we will see you next time on Phillies Backstage.